My dearly beloved in Christ, when we come each year to the month of November, of course, our thoughts go to especially relieving the poor suffering souls in purgatory and striving to deliver as many as possible from the flames of purgatory. So our thoughts again go to purgatory and the last things. And so I would like to give a series of sermons over the next few weeks on the four last things, indulgences, purgatory, and these topics that are suggested to us at this time of year. So this morning, I would like to speak in particular about death, an important topic, even though one that we don't like to think about. An important topic, a very important topic, because as you well know, on the state of the soul at the moment that we die, our entire eternity depends. And thus, we must die well. We must prepare well for death. Now, there are two kinds of preparations. One is the spiritual, which is the most important, but the other would be the material or the temporal, which is also necessary. And I want to say two things about that. First of all, especially for one who maybe has relatives who aren't together with him or her on the faith, regarding the disposition of one's mortal remains, to make certain that you have a will that spells out exactly what you wish to be done insofar as funeral, burial. We actually had a funeral for a parishioner in one of our other parishes, another part of the country, 6 or 8 weeks ago. And this woman was a very faithful, traditional Catholic. The priest had the funeral, but after the funeral, was not allowed to have the burial because her family members made a big commotion and challenged it legally. There was a court trial. I don't even know to this day if it has been resolved because the priest was told could not have the burial. After the funeral, the body was taken to the morgue until the court trial would settle these conflicting arguments and wishes of her sons and daughters, who were not all faithful traditional Catholics, and some wanted her buried elsewhere in the country and so forth, which is really a shame. But what is also a shame is when there is arguing, disagreement among the heirs regarding an inheritance. It's really sad, and yet it happens. So parents want to avoid that by making certain you have a will and everything is spelled out very clearly, who is the executor and how your estate is to be divided and so forth. So that's important. But getting back to the disposition of one's remains, about 20 years or so ago, and I found this in my files, and so I photocopied it and put copies in the vestibule on the table in a box. And it is entitled Arranging for a Traditional Catholic Burial. So His Excellency asked a lawyer from one of our parishes, who is a traditional Catholic, to write up something that people could use. And again, this is very important. I had a parishioner in Massachusetts. You know, I used to go there every month, and there was a man, very faithful, traditional Catholic, wasn't able to come to Mass. I would take him communion regularly. A very pious, faithful, traditional Catholic. When he died, his children did not allow me to have the funeral. I offered a requiem mass for him in private, but not, with the body present. They did allow me to go to the cemetery and have the graveside ceremonies. But those are things that can happen when a person whose family is not all with him or her on the faith, when the person hasn't made these arrangements. So that's what the purpose of this is. You're welcome to take it on one side as an explanation. On the other side is a form that can be photocopied. You could give copies to your family members, to the funeral home, to the executor of your will, and so forth. So it's very clear to everyone where you want to be buried from, which church, what priest or group of priests would be taking care of your funeral, and where your remains are to be laid to rest and so forth. So that's the temporal concerns, and that needs to be done. But far more important, of course, would be the spiritual concerns, the preparation for death. You know how the church in the Litany of the Saints has a petition, from a sudden and unprovided death, deliver us, O Lord. Libera nos Domine, deliver us from a sudden and unprovided death. What is an unprovided death? One where the person dies unexpectedly and is not in a state of soul that he or she should be at death. And so the important thing here is to think about death, even though we don't like to. We need to think about it and prepare for it, because we know that nothing is more certain in life. Nothing is more certain than the fact that we will die one day. Nothing is more uncertain than when that day will be and what the circumstances will be. And so we should live each day as though it were going to be our last. Sometimes you see pictures of saints, holy cards or pictures, and you have a saint standing with a crucifix or a book, and next to him or her is a table, and on the table is a skull. That doesn't necessarily mean that the saint kept a skull in his cell. I imagine some of them did. But what it means is he or she was known for thinking about death every day, meditating on death, preparing for death. And in that regard, I want to read to you a section from The Imitation of Christ. This is from Book 1, Chapter 23, entitled Thoughts of Death. Very quickly must you be gone from here. See then how matters stand with you. A man is here today, and tomorrow he is vanished. And when he is taken out of sight, he is quickly also out of mind. Oh, the dullness and hardness of man's heart, which only thinks of what is present and looks not forward to things to come. You ought in every action and thought so to order yourself as if you were going immediately to die. If you had a good conscience, you would not much fear death. It would be better for you to flee sin than to be afraid of death. If you are not prepared today, how shall you be tomorrow? Tomorrow is an uncertain day, and how do you know that you shall be alive tomorrow? What benefit is it to live long when we advance so little? Long life does not always make us better, but often adds to our guilt. Would to God you had behaved yourself well in this world, even for one day. Many count the years of their conversion, but oftentimes the fruit of amendment is small. If it is frightful to die, perhaps it will be more dangerous to live longer. Blessed is he that has always the hour of death before his eyes, and every day disposes himself to die. If you have ever seen a man die, think that you must also pass the same way. In the morning, imagine that you shall not live till night. And when evening comes, presume not to promise yourself the next morning. Be therefore always prepared and live in such a manner that death may never find you unprovided. And this is only maybe a half or third of the meditation. You can read it. Wonderful book, The Imitation of Christ. But here is the point. Prepare every day for death, because that is the most important moment of our life, when our eternity begins. And our eternity is decided by the state of our soul at that moment. And I would leave you with this thought. Let us suppose that it were revealed to you today that you were going to die at the end of this day. Now, you know, we don't have visions, but let's just suppose you did. Suppose our Lord or our Lady appeared to you and said to you, today is going to be the last day of your life. Tonight, the end of the day, you're going to die. Let's just suppose that that happened. How would you live today? If you knew it was going to be your last day, how would you spend it? How would you live it? We should strive to do that every single day. We should strive to live every day as though it were going to be the last day of our life. And if we do that, then when that last day comes, we will be ready. We will be ready for our Lord to call us. Like our Lord said, "You know not when the Son of Man will come for you. Therefore, always be ready." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.